This is a Montbog Christian Fellowship sermon podcast. We hope you find this message enjoyable and inspiring.
Let's get to the Word of God. The Lord has really given me a word for this church, for this house this morning. And I will be touching on Jonah somewhere during this word, God willing. And I really want us to be open to what the Lord is saying to us right now. Not my words, but what the Holy Spirit's been saying. And I believe that the Holy Spirit has already set the platform this morning. Not only through the songs that we've been singing, the worship we've given him, but the words that have come forth as well, particularly Karen's communion, but also the word that Matthew brought and the word that Elaine brought and Konya's song. I believe that the Holy Spirit has really set the platform this morning. And the word that he's given me for this church, it's something I shared with the elders on Friday night, was that this is not a time to shrink back. Okay? That's that word shrink back. It's the NIV version of what I think the authorized Bible would say, don't draw back. The NIV says, don't shrink back. And I really think it's a word for this church for 2013 that we don't shrink back. This is a season where we need to push on and go ahead. And the reason I know that bears witness in my spirit is because already, only 1 month into the year, I know that many people are going through such difficult times that there is a almost like a sense prophetically, this I will just shrink back in this year and relax and see what happens, and I'm too overburdened to really push through. Is there any, well, you don't have to confess it, I don't want to even see that, but just bear it in mind, because I've been seeking God on this, and I'm really hoping that the Holy Spirit will come and minister to us this morning, perhaps at the end of this message. Don't shrink back. Don't shrink back. Habakkuk 3:17, you know this passage of Scripture really well. Though the fig tree does not bud, there's no grapes on the vine, though the olive crop fails, and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet will I rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful to God my Saviour. There's a key in dealing with the circumstances that we find our lives in. And that key is to yet be joyful in the Lord. Be joyful in Him. And I want to expound a little about that today. You know, God takes us through various seasons in our life. He's a seasonal God. He likes to do things in seasons. We think of the Israelites of old. You know, they went through a 40-year season before God was able to deliver them into a new season of taking the land that was rightly theirs. All of us find ourselves in seasons, hopefully not ones that last for 40 years, unless they're productive and fruitful seasons. But if you're going through a hard time, a dry time, I pray that that season will also be a short time. And there's a key to shorten the time of those difficult seasons. We will look at that today. I've got computers and Bibles everywhere. I don't know how I'm going to get all this done. But I thought I would... Why isn't that working? This always happens to me. But I thought I would break it down into small building blocks this morning. Now, as children's church is on out there, we're only big kids, so we understand how to build with blocks. So I'm going to go through four building blocks that will help us to become vibrant and victorious and really establish ourselves in God this morning. Amen? God is a vibrant and colourful God. He wants vibrant and colourful people to reflect his nature today. God takes us through seasons, but his purpose is not to leave us there. It's to bring us through victoriously. Amen. He's a patient God, and as we've been learning in the last couple of weeks, he's also a kind-hearted God. It's not his desire to be wrathful towards us. It's not his desire to create difficult times or pressures for us. It's his desire to see us prosper and move on. You know, God is an amazing God. When we read Revelation chapter 1, and I'm going to turn there in the NIV Bible, Revelation chapter 1 and verse 12, we get a picture of who this God is that we're serving, a picture of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour. And it's a picture that I always remind myself, because it's true where Jesus is at now. Many of us see Jesus in many different ways, but I want to see him how the Bible sees him today. And John, when he was had the revelation of this, he said, "I turned to see the voice that was speaking to me. And when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands, and among the lampstands was someone like the Son of Man, dressed in a robe reaching to his feet with a golden sash around his chest." I love this. His head and hair were white like cotton wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like blazing fire. Our Saviour. His feet were like bronze glowing in the furnace, and his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. Hallelujah. This is a Saviour, and I want you to keep the picture of the Saviour in mind. He's not Jesus Christ, meek and mild. I mean, he is that too, but he is the Almighty God that we serve. Now I'm going to read from the book of Hebrews, and I've chosen this morning to use the King James Version. Hallelujah. I read several versions, but for some reason the poetry of this version just really seemed to say it clearly. And I will read the whole chapter before we get to building block A. No, I won't. I'll start at, say, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus," that's you and me, we heard that this morning, "by a new and living way, which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart full of assurance. Let us not shrink back, but let us draw near with a full heart full of assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed in pure water." You start to get the picture of who we are and our relationship with him who saved us. "Let us hold fast to the profession of our faith," like Karen's word this morning about her daughter. Let us hold fast to the great things that God has done for us. Don't lose sight of them, because we will go through difficult times. And these things are like monuments in our past where God has really moved for us. "Let us hold fast to the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that has promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works," community of God, "not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, so much the more as we see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sins. Jesus has done it once for all. But a certain fearful looking for it of judgment," even I can't get my words around these, the King James sometimes, "and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries." This is God. "He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sorer punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant, wherewith he was sanctified, an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace." You can look that up in your own Bibles later. But it's beautiful prose. "For we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me. I will recompense, said the Lord, and then again the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God." Bearing in mind that if you're not receiving what Jesus has done, it is a very fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. And some Christians today prefer to live under that law situation than under the grace situation that God has given us. "But call to remembrance the former days, in which after ye were illuminated, ye endured great fight and afflictions." Anyone can bear witness to that? Hello? Some of us, not all of us? Okay, well, you can, you know, by remote control. If any one of you has given any money or prayed a prayer for Nanda Paul and Mercy Grace. You're sharing in their suffering and afflictions. They're our Indian missionaries whom we support. Partly whilst ye were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst ye became companions to them, of them that were so used. So we're sharing, it's a Mission Sunday, we're sharing in what Ananda Paul and Mercy Grace are going through, even if we're not experiencing on our own selves great affliction and troubles this morning. And praise God if you're not. For ye had compassion of me in my bonds and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and enduring substance. I hear that, yeah. It's true. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence. Don't shrink back. Be mindful of what it is to be a Christian in Mombok in 2013. Don't shrink back. That's the word to the church this morning. Don't shrink back. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. Everyone has a calling on his life to accomplish the will of God in this life that we have. Don't shrink back. For yet a little while, he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, shrink back, my soul will have no pleasure in him. Don't shrink back, church. But we are not of them who shrink back under perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul this morning. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you for your word of truth today. Father, we pray that you would reveal it to our hearts this morning. Lord God, and as we look into your word and look to see what it is that you're doing in our lives today, Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit will minister into our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Today I want to look at authority. We're governed by authority. Whether we like it or not, we're not cavemen, we're not some wild creature. We have authorities in our lives. And most Christians will say that the first authority they have, it's on the screen there, they should say that I'm under the authority of the Holy Spirit this morning. Who's under the authority of the Holy Spirit this morning? And so it should be. Yet many times I hear people say, the Holy Spirit told me to do this and do that and do the other thing, and I often question whether it truly was the Holy Spirit or not. But we are people that are, first and foremost, to have the authority of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Building block B is the Word of God. The Holy Spirit and the Word of God working together. The Word of God is the other super authority that we should have ruling our lives this morning. Anyone bear witness to that? I mean, this is old stuff. We all know about the Word and the Spirit working together. We all know what it means to have the Word and the Spirit together. If we live by Spirit alone, we're puffed up. If we live by Word alone, we're just too dry. But living by the two working together is a magnificent thing. It's the way it should be. It's what God has called us to be. God will always work through His Word. His Word will never vary from what the Holy Spirit's doing. His mandate, His trade, His purpose, His office is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will always use the Word as His guideline. The two will never vary. If someone says something that the Holy Spirit may have caused them to do, check it up in the Word of God. If it's not there, it's not the Holy Ghost. It's really, really simple. The Word and the Spirit are one. They work together as one. Hallelujah. Another authority that we have in our lives, so you may think that I don't know the English language, and you might be quite correct, is building block D. Now, building block D is all the external influences that are around about us. Now, this authority, it's a valid authority. It can be many things. It can be media, living by what the television would say to do. It can be culture. If you're in a particular culture, you uplift the habits of that particular culture. It can be the things that we listen to, We might listen to tapes or read books or read the media. All of these things have an authority which we can choose to live in our life. Now, be it right or be it wrong, that's how we're informed today. All of the world is informed by some form of external influence, some form of external authority. It might be good and it might be bad. That's beside the point. The point is that we recognise that there is the influence of those external influences on our life. It could be the pastor. Yeah? It could be the preacher. Okay, it's not, he's not the Word of God or the Holy Spirit, hopefully ministering through those things, but he's not the sole source of God's wisdom. Actually, we're very blessed in this house. We have a wonderful pastor. You know, we have a wonderful, I shouldn't say this, but we have a wonderful eldership. With, I think I'm the exception, but I'm glad that I can have an opportunity to serve with those people. I'm amazed at David, actually. His wisdom and his view is, it's just red hot. I've served on three elderships, and this is the best, believe me. So praise God for our eldership, and praise God for our pastor this morning. We have a really good man. He's spot on. He's hot for God, and his heart and his mind are full of the Holy Spirit and of the Word of God, and he sticks rigidly, strongly to that, and it's a plumb line for me. I know why God's got me there. It's a good thing. So praise God for that. So do you understand what external circumstances, external influences are? All those other voices outside of us that have some kind of influence or some kind of authority on us. The last building block is... Did I tip? Okay. Building block C, which is internal influences. Internal influences. That's those little voices that go on inside our own head. It can be our emotions. You know, women have got a lot of emotions influencing them in the way they do. You know, actually, women seem to slip from emotion, 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 whereas guys seem to get stuck on one emotion, which can lead them around the desert for 40 years and they never get off that emotion. But these are internal influences that affect us. In fact, we screen everything that we see in building block A and B and C. We screen through building block C. Everything is filtered through building block C. And if building block C isn't saturated in A and B, then there can be trouble. There can be big trouble. We can go off the rails. We can really lose what it is that we're to be in this day and age. Hallelujah. We must live by the Word of God as revealed by the Holy Spirit. The Word-Spirit partnership must determine our responses to life. The internal emotions and the external other people, authorities that want our attention, they may be right and they may be wrong. They'll only be right if they too have been saturated in building block A and building block B. You understanding me this morning? God is a personal God. He's not he is, but he has interest in each one of us individually. He knows us personally. He knows everything about us. There's nothing that we can hide from him. He knew Jonah. You know, Jonah was a guy that lived out of building block C and building block D. He did. He was right down there. He filtered everything through his hatred of the Ninevites. Everything was filtered through that. He could never grasp A and B. He never got a hold of that, the word of God that God had given him. Go to the Ninevites and tell them to repent. Really simple. Only for a fleeting fraction of the moment did he manage to take hold of A and B. And then in a blind moment of obedience, go to Nineveh and say, repent in 40 days or God's going to wipe you out. And then he left and got angry with God again. And started playing games with God again, went back to building block C and D. And you read that in chapters 3 and 4 of that book. It's a great book. I spent a lot of time with Jonah. I'm going to look forward to meeting him again in heaven, hopefully, one day. See if he's repented. See if he's given up on his attitude. But for that blind moment when he was obedient to God, we saw the whole Ninevite nation won to the Lord. Hallelujah. There is so much power in just functioning solely by word and spirit. this morning. Church, don't shrink back. Don't shrink back into our emotions. Don't shrink back into those ways that we've filtered knowledge about the world, about ourselves, about politics, about offences, about afflictions, about the situation we're in now, no matter how difficult it is. Don't allow it to shrink us back. God is an expansive God, and he wants an expansive people. He wants a victorious people. He wants you and me to know as 2013 as a year where we really came to know Jesus through his word and his spirit in a new and living way. Because I sense this is a difficult year. I don't know what it's like for all of you out there. I know that in my business, for instance, there's a lot of changes going on. Never before, I've been in the industry for 25 years. This is probably the most unstable it's ever been. And people are jostling here and jostling there, and there's all this commotion about what to do and what not to do. It's very easy just to want to shrink back from all of that. God says, no, I'm an expansive God. This is a time to expand, to extend the cords of your tent, no matter what circumstance you're in, no matter what you're facing. God is bigger than it all. Amen? We fashion God into sea to our own image many times. God, you know, I need your help. I'm like this and I'm like that. Without recognizing that God is bigger and over everything. God, you know, Jesus is a lion. You know that? I love what I think C.S. Lewis said. He said, he's a lion, but we can't tame him. He's a lion. He's a wild God. When I read that picture of Jesus in Revelation, he's just an amazing God, a fearful God, a God of judgment, a God of wrath. And, you know, it's not the sort of God that you want to approach. But as we read in the book of Hebrews, if we're operating in block C, only the emotions, not by the word and the spirit, then we're going to encounter God as a roaring lion. We're going to encounter God as lightning. We're going to encounter God as a purging fire. We're going to encounter God as a wrathful, judgmental kind of God if we're living in that place. But that's not God's purpose for us. He wants to be living in this other place where we can receive God as the Lamb. This morning, the Lamb that has taken away the sins of the world. The last few weeks we've been learning about the character of God, how he is gracious, how he wants to forgive us, he wants to bless us, he wants to help us through our circumstances, how he's a kind God. And I tell you, that's the kind of God I want to encounter. I don't want to encounter the lightning. Do you want the lightning in a bottle? Or do you want the Lamb for real? It's a question I'm asking. Do you want the lightning or do you want the Lamb this morning? Our choices determine how we will encounter God. The choices we make will determine the type of God that we encounter. The God of fire, the God of judgment, the God of wrath, or God, Jesus, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And I know that these are difficult times for a lot of people. I know that businesses are suffering at this time. I know that. I'm in the business world. I see many people that are struggling. I know that many people are having plans and they've pulled back from these plans because of the circumstances of their lives. Just the difficulty of living day to day, one day at a time. But I'm here this morning to tell you that God is calling us not to shrink back today. In fact, when we're going through the hardest time, that's when God wants to move the most miraculously. That's when he's positioned to move the most miraculously, because the word of God says that when I am weak, when I am suffering, when I am going through difficulties, then he shows himself to be strong. So we have no right to pull back. We have no right to draw back. We have no right to shrink back. Don't let our emotions control where we are in 2013. But let 2013 be a hallmark year of the Holy Ghost and of the Word of God being a lamp unto our feet this morning. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't shrink back. Don't shrink back. But let's go forward. I believe this is going to be a fantastic year. I really do. I think that God has really positioned the church for this to be a fantastic year. Amen? But I want us, when God spoke to me in India about not shrinking back, it was because I was shrinking back. That's why he spoke to me about that. He says, "You're shrinking back. What are you going to do about it?" Yes. Well, some of us do shrink back from time to time. It's perfectly understandable. It's not a condemnation. It's just a reality. We go through life like that. But now, this morning, we need to make a conscious stand because we've heard of the Word of God. We've heard what he wants to do. We know his character, what he's capable of, what he wants to actualize in our lives this morning. So God is asking us by his Holy Spirit to make a stand this morning and say, "I'm not going to shrink back in 2013. I'm going to expand my tent, even though I'm so subjectively involved in my circumstances of my life. I'm going to take your word and your spirit and get a an objective view of what you're doing in my life, what your purpose is, and where I will be at the end of this year." Hallelujah. This is a year of change, and it's an exciting year. But if you're shrinking back this morning, I want you to do business with the Holy Ghost today. Let's stand to our feet this morning. I want you to do business with the Holy Ghost. All of us shrink back. All of us do. Otherwise, he wouldn't bring this word. It's not just, you know, another tool to put in your box. It's because something's happening. I'd like the music team to come up, and we're just going to minister in song here.
Thanks for listening. And please check out our website or come and visit us at Mombol Christian Fellowship.